Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get the ass whooped over this thing.
Well, let's see where Chris is. I'm fucking beat. Plus working outside in this heat. Ugh. Got no energy. So we'll see where he is. Let's see if he calls, because if he don't, it's going to be awful short, because I'm awful tired. It's going to be 107 degrees for the next 3 days here. Boring. No, I don't know where Chris is. Maybe Chris is not coming today. They're trying to push that racist shit down here. They said somebody at a gas station told a Mexican they couldn't afford anything. No, they didn't. Not in this town. They didn't. Nobody said that. They keep pushing this racist stuff. It's so funny. Nobody goes out of their way to be racist anymore. Give me a break. I'm stupid.
Hey, I was here the whole time.
Huh?
I was here the whole time. I was early.
Didn't show you till right now.
I was acting like the Incredible Spider-Man. I was, like, using my skills.
Your head's all fucked up?
Yeah, I was just going to say. I'm in a different reality. I'm in a different reality. I had to come back to this one. But actually, we ordered, we made the fatal mistake of ordering General So's crazy combo. We ordered some Chinese food that is normally safe. And when it's like the silence of the cats, when you stop hearing them meow, it's time to chow. Don't eat the chow, because all of a sudden, my son starts projectile vomiting, and it was just like, all of a sudden I started sweating, and I didn't know if it was psychosomatic or if it was actually from the stuff. But the guy that delivered it looked worried, and it's always the same delivery guy, and he had like this worried look. On his face, he goes, "How you doing tonight?" And he said, "Good. How about you?" I said, "Boy, it's hot out there." And then I kind of caught like a glance of him, and he had this expression on his face, like, "Don't do it, don't do it." And I don't know, man. I think the quality might have gone down. The quality standards may have dropped.
Maybe. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was, I'm telling you. I finished it though. But last week, I think we were the same thing and it happened. So I guess I must have a thick head. I didn't learn. But I was watching this thing about Epstein, Mr. Epstein. And all this crap, man, talk about paranoia. I was paranoid about the food. Everything happens in this freaking county. Everything. And all these crazy people come from this county. All I did, I wasn't born here, but, you know, I lived here. And I don't think we, like, timed it. I don't think I planned it. I don't think I just sort of, had these things happen. And this scumbag, what happened was that the guy was doing house arrest, and what this thing that I just heard that happened was I wrote it down because I wanted to. Well, this is okay. I'll put it like this: when I was doing this is how far back this went. When I was doing the radio thing, and the thing that made me end it was the Epstein thing. When my son was born, I wasn't getting any sleep, And the lady that was running the station or whatever said to me, you know, you're not going to be able to do this because you've got to get a certain amount of rest. You know, you're not going to get enough sleep and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, no, it'll be fine. You know, in a month I'll reacclimate to the lack of sleep. And she was like, yeah, right. She goes, I'll give you, you know, 6 weeks and we'll see if you say the same thing. So, you know, I'm going along and trying to keep up with everybody. And this detective guy is doing this story on a guy that no one had ever heard of or no one was talking about so far as he said. And this is just recent because you and I were talking and I went back and I went back to listen to see if I could find this old show. And he's very proud of himself for covering this Epstein thing. But this is what I didn't know back then that happened. Okay, so I'm tired, right, from having a newborn kid, and the guy was telling me, don't worry about it, you know, that's normal. When my daughter was born, you know, I didn't get any sleep, and, you know, you barely have time to even take a shower, so don't worry about it. So on one of the episodes, I call in, and he's doing Epstein. He's covering this Epstein. So now all anybody knew at that time was they called it Orgy Island, and they said Bill Clinton had gone there, and then the Donald Trump part was that he had given that interview, and he had said he was a terrific guy and that he liked women on the younger side. Well, this is what I found out. Well, this is what I said first when that happened. So I called in at the end of one of those shows, and I was half asleep, and the guy goes, did you listen to the show and hear what we were talking about? It was very important. And I said, yeah, it was about that guy from Orgy Island. And I hit the high points, like, you know, that's what it was about, and he was flying the president there. That's what the gist of the story was. So he got all offended, and he goes, don't ever call my show, you know, when you're half asleep and you never listen to the thing. And it was a little bit disrespectful, but I understood. I knew enough to follow along. So now I go back, you know, all these years later, and now that this story's back in the news, I found out why he was so touchy about it. He did a show. I would never have gone back and looked this up if it hadn't been for this conversation. I was just curious. I go back, and he said that he, at the time, couldn't talk about this. And he said, I'm nervous to do this show. This is the detective guy. He said, because at the time, he said, I couldn't discuss this to anyone, even the people that were closest to me. And he said, at the time, one of the girl that was suing Trump, or she had a allegation against Trump and Epstein for, you know, some kind of sexual misconduct, she had asked him to represent her at the time. So it was like an attorney-client privilege type of thing, you know, where he couldn't disclose that. So the reason why he was wound up so tight about it was I didn't know that that was happening, and I played it down, you know, and I wasn't joking about it, but I wasn't taking it as serious, I guess, as he was. So that was what sort of ended the relationship there. And then what's funny about it is that now that this started back up, you know, all this stuff is sort of coming out, and he's like, well, then that girl dropped that lawsuit or whatever it was, you know, that, because there was one, like, there were two things with Trump when he was running where he said the comment, the famous grab him, you know, the grab him comment, and then there was like one or two women, and he said, oh, that girl was, the girl was so ugly, I would have never touched her. So, and then they disappeared, kind of, you know, everything against him sort of just disappeared. Well, apparently this person was one of those, and she just went away. So that was my involvement with it. And looking back, I think things still would have ended the same way because the guy was kind of like a lot of people on radio, you know, kind of egomaniacal anyway. And, you know, a lot of people burn bridges anyway. So I don't think I would have done anything different. But it adds a layer of context that I didn't have before. And I asked myself, why does all this stuff happen in this? You know, it would be one thing if it was just South Florida as a whole, but does it really have to all happen in this county? I mean, it was even the election when it came down to the, supposedly when they were counting those votes. It was even this county then. So it's always something in this area. When they did that shooting at the, what was the most recent one? Because they've done so many. That was here. Everything is here. They say South Florida is a sunny place for shady people because there's a lot of you know, spooks and stuff down here. But yeah, so that happened. And I would never have looked into it if it hadn't been for that. So I'm kind of, I'm glad I did, but it's a chapter that's closed anyway. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that until just like a few days ago. And now, you know, all this stuff is in the news and it's a kind of a big thing. And I think the reason why they're burning that dude is because of, I think there's an election going on, or there was an election going on in Israel, and it had to do with people that were loyal, because they got parties just like we have here. And even though they're all sort of one party, you know, sometimes they fight with each other. It's like a poker game. And sometimes, you know, they fight over hands, you know, and who wins. But the game always keeps going. You know, that's the best way, I think, to describe it. You know, and some of them really do hate each other. Like, but at the end of the day, remember after the election when, I think it was after that, no, it was right before I think Trump was going to win. And him and Hillary were at that Catholic dinner, and they were telling jokes that weren't really jokes. And he said, she told me to pardon her. And then she said, it takes a village. And they said, take two. And he was saying all this stuff that was like, you know, they weren't jokes. He was like really telling like true things, but just because it was in that setting, in that venue, it was like, it was okay, you know, to say those things. And every time he would say one of these jokes and she would say some of the things, I would go, ooh, but it was like a big joke. You know, it was like the whole thing, you know, they could make jokes about her, stealing kids out of villages in Haiti. But as long as it's just the milieu, it's just where they say it. So it doesn't matter. It's just like there's rules to this whole game, but it's a game. So just always remember, that's what it is. And in the end, you know, if I was saying to you, Bill, the other night, I was telling you about that George Carlin special, that every conspiracy theorist used to always tag on to their clips. They were, when people used to actually make videos and they seemed legitimate, people used to love to put there were two of those last two specials that George Carlin did where he started to have a hunched over back and he was in all black. And in one of them, he was in like a, I think he was in a cemetery was the backdrop. And he was saying stuff that wasn't jokes. It was just true. And he goes, this is a system that threw you overboard 30 years ago and you just want obedient workers. And then it culminated basically with, it's a big club and you ain't in it. And he goes, you and I are not in the big club. And everyone was laughing. And I went back and I replayed it because it was on so many different videos that by the time I had it basically memorized, I was like, what he's saying isn't even a joke. And it's not even funny. He's just telling the truth. And the people are laughing almost out of, you know, to relieve tension or just out of anxiety, because he's not saying things that are funny.
Hey, Chris, this thing's trying to end early. Like after, hang on a second, 90 seconds. Man.
Okay.
I gotta try and get this thing back. Man. This is stupid. What is it doing? I put 2 hours. Episode. Hang on, I'm fighting the clock here. I gotta edit this thing. Where's the time? If this duration, it's got it set for 15 minutes, this stupid thing. I'm trying to bump the time up. Episode duration, advanced options. It won't let me bump the time up. Well, we'll just do it again. If we get cut off, can you do it tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you and I can keep talking for another 40 minutes, I guess. This is stupid. It won't let
me. You know, I remember one time, but this was a long time ago, on the old Blog Talk format, and the guy wanted to, he had extra time, and he wanted to add like 15 minutes, and I think he was able to do it, but it was hard to do, so I'm not sure if they changed their format.
Yeah, but, well,
so I don't,
we're just going to have to do it again tomorrow. I mean, you and I keep talking, but this is stupid. I don't know why that did that.
Yeah.
I set it for 2 hours. I'm looking.
That's weird.
No,
maybe
it's either
because
it's because I worked so long in the heat today, I probably didn't set it right. So we'll just have to do it again tomorrow.
Okay.
Let me see. Why won't it let me go to... Because normally you could change the time. Well, that's stupid. Oh, well. But you're still on, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, good. Captive audience. Well, we could talk for 20 minutes.
Do you want me to reconnect with her?
It won't do
talking,
any good.
I guess. Yeah, I'll just keep talking.
People just go listen to it as well. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Is that what happened? It got set wrong?
Well, I guess. I don't know. It said duration 15 minutes.
Is that what it's showing? It's showing duration 15 minutes.
Yeah, and you didn't call me back and tell me the day you wanted to do that stuff, because I can't pick that for you. You got to tell me.
Yeah.
Did you figure out what day you want to do? I mean, you have to tell me.
Yeah, let's, I think we were saying either Sunday, it would have to be in the afternoon, so Saturday would be better because it would be at night. So 8 o'clock Saturday night.
I just gotta give you the password and the thing, and then you just go on and set it yourself.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have anything to do with it at that point.
And then somebody else wanted to jump on.
I don't know.
I like a video.
I like
a guest,
and then one other guy that I've never talked to in my life, which I can't just say okay.
Hey.
Well, I don't know. You know, what if he's a crazy glue sniffer?
Yeah. Well, you know what? If Alex wanted to do, if he wanted to do it, and then I call in like this way, then that might be an easier way than if he did it just by himself. I mean, I'm just throwing things out there, and then
well,
he can try to do it.
Well, I think he's.
I'm just thinking out loud.
You should have, that's a fan that plugs in my phone.
Because what I was thinking was back in the old days, I had, we had people that would help and they'd produce and it made it, and all they did was just like hit the play, you know, button, like basically just do the tech stuff. And because I had trouble it's hard to just read the chat and talk, you know? And I don't know how people do the calls and everything, like, you know, it's, you know, multitasking. It's hard to, it's harder than it seems. Some people, I guess, are better at doing that than other people. But they say that there's really no such thing as multitasking. You can really only do one thing at a time.
Well,
I think you just get used to doing something and then, you know, you do that automatically and then the rest you're focusing on. See, that sort of stuff, when you get into that sort of stuff, that interests me, like how the brain and the mind, you know, it's not even necessarily the brain, it's more of the mind, you know, like focus, imagination, those different, the will, memories. I always said, where are your memories stored? Where would you find your, you know, your actual memories, you know, and how would they, what would they look like? What would it be? How, you know, I always try to think of it in an abstract way. That sort of stuff, I think, is interesting. How you can focus harder than other times than you can on other things. Like I was saying with those old paintings that were not old, but you know, the ones that they used to have that were optical illusions. People could look at, some people could see and some people couldn't.
Yeah.
That was more of a trick of with your eyes. But I'm saying like with focus, sometimes you're more focused on something than other times. Sometimes you're half paying attention. And what the hell does that even mean? To pay attention to something. Sometimes you have to be kind of distracted. Sometimes, like if I would play pool, I would be better if I had like one or two beers and I'd be half, you know, instead of like if I was just trying really hard. Like you almost have to get into, like they call that the zone, or when somebody's like, you know, doing something really well, they don't even know how they're doing it. A lot of times in sports it happens.
What is
this? That's all magic. That's all, you know, what they call, what the kids call magic.
Well, who writes this? Do they write on my page? And I am much smarter than I think I am. Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that. Referring to themselves. Yet they don't, nobody ever gets this. I've posted this a gazillion times. The Rothschild is a play on words. It comes from the Rathschild, which is Cain. Roth is an old English word for wrath. So they're the Rathschild.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but they never get it. Nobody ever listens to me. I swear to God,
the child of wrath.
Well, nobody ever gets it. Nobody ever gets it. Nobody ever listens. The guy's like, well, why do you keep telling me you made all those videos? Well, so you can go fucking find them, dude. I'm not going to hand them to you.
You have...
they're all over the place.
Have,
I made the videos. You go find them. I'm not going to do
right.
that.
Yeah, no, he absolutely should look them up himself because he needs to show effort to find them, obviously. And I'm not criticizing. I don't know who the guy is. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't know. Nobody
everybody
wants,
else has
nobody
it
wants
going.
To just hit everything just handed to him, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know him. I mean...
The thing is that a lot of the videos, even if you were able to give them to people, they're on, like, your old computer, aren't they?
Yeah, they're on my old computer. I'm 3 old computers, and, you know, frankly,
yeah.
I'm not going back to find them. They're all over the fucking place. Do like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Just look.
That's why when somebody uploaded them onto YouTube for, like, a day, and you're like, they're going to get taken down, I downloaded, like, a bunch of them. Before they got taken down.
Well, the one guy downloaded them and then he made money off of them. But then
yeah.
he wrote me and said he didn't make money off of them. But, you know, who knows?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. He said, yeah, and he said he was just trying to get it up there. But you said they're going to get taken down.
Well, I don't care. They can touch on my people.
What did
so
they take them down over? They took them down over what, hate speech?
Being racist, they said. I'm racist.
What?
That's what they threw me off for, and they blocked my IP. They sent me a thing and said, your IP's been blocked.
Oh, my God.
They didn't just ban me, dude. They fucking banned me. They put me off for racism, and then they sent me a thing saying, your IP is blocked, so I couldn't even get back on.
That's
people,
one of those things
you,
that's like...
You guys will see it in
scary.
The end. They're doing it
yeah.
right now because... They're doing it. They had this thing on the at the gas station over here today. Like supposedly, some Mexican went in and somebody said, "You don't make enough money to buy that." Listen, the town I live in, no white guy said that. Never in a million years did somebody tell some Spanish person, "You don't make enough money to buy that." It's like
right.
I want to call Fox News and go, you know, go fuck yourself. All they're doing is pushing this. The racist agenda so that anything
purpose.
That becomes wrong will be twisted around and it'll become anti-Semitic. You guys don't see that. I do. I know exactly where it's going.
That's, you're
and
right
that,
about
this allows
that.
Them to pass laws to shut you down. because nobody wants
right.
to listen. No, people don't get it. Nobody cares. They will.
But the
when people finally see what they're doing, that they won't be able to open their mouth because they allowed them to use everybody else as an excuse to stop any kind of hate speech type stuff. And then that's how they're going to do that stuff. That's how they're going to.
And
then
I can see. Right. And I can see why on the surface, you know, like the normies, whatever you want to call them, the boomers, the old boomers, when they hear the stuff and they say, oh, you know, we're just blocking this kind of, you know, negative speech. The reason they go along with it is they're like, that is a terrible thing for somebody to say. They're like, that, you know, that's just not right. Why would somebody say that to somebody else? You know what I mean? They fall for it, but
they're not going after the old people. They're going after the young people.
Right. No, I know. But I'm saying that the ultimate thing with that, because a lot of the guys that push it forward, like a lot of the white nationalist people and stuff, that guy that wrote Vatican Assassins, I'm pretty sure he used to say this, they always bring up the same thing. They're like, we'll live in this part, and the black people live in Atlanta, and he's like, and the Mexicans will have basically California, Arizona, and all of them. They want to divide the country, and this is a realistic thing. Bill Cooper's talking about it too. They want to divide the country into three zones and have, like, borders. And, you know, like, literally have, like, I don't know what you're going to call it, divided country or three divided countries that trade with each other or something. It's that whacked out. But they also want to foment a war, a race war, too, which they were trying to do since that was what the whole Helter Skelter thing was. They weren't supposed to find out that was, you know, what's his name?
It's all masonry, dude.
Yeah.
That's only in the news now. There's a fucking alligator in the lake out here. And now they called this guy in from Florida and he caught it. It's 5 feet long. And he's like, now he's like the big deal in Chicago. Because it's Masonic. That damn fucking alligator has always been this other logo, like their motherfucking scare beetle.
The guy's Yeah.
Like, the shirts, those Izod shirts. Or what are they called? I think they're either called Izod or.
No, but they're making a big deal out of it. That ain't a big deal.
And they always show a big alligator. Like, nobody in Florida has ever seen a giant alligator. They run across the highway all the time. They're everywhere. You know, they always make a big story like, look at this alligator on the golf course. It's crazy. There's an alligator in Florida.
I know, but look. the name Izod. Who was Zod? Zod was the bad guy in Superman, remember?
Right.
Neil. No, Izod. I'm Zod. That's all it's saying.
Right. That's right. And he wanted him to kneel. He said he called him a coward.
The alligator is another one of those things that they use as a logo.
Right. Yeah, no, that's them. That's their thing. That's what I'm saying. That's a coded story on the surface of it. And what they do is they always say it's a 15-foot alligator. They always like, look at this 15-foot alligator. It looks like a real-life dinosaur. How about that? And the girl, you know, they'll throw it over to the other anchor and she'll be like, wow, how about that? It sure is long. And it is. The thing is huge, man. We do have crazy giant lizards. I got pictures of them in the trees, the iguanas. And I know they weren't here when we moved here because I used to have to go to the zoo to see them. And I thought they were one of the cool things, you know, to go see. And they kept them in such a, so far away from the people. They had a fence and then they had like a trench in between so that you really couldn't get near the things. And I remember the colors. Wow, the lights just went off in here. I hope I didn't say anything offensive. That's kind of weird. But, I'll just keep talking. But, they had strict separation from the animals, and that was one of the big attractions. And I remember they had like the crap on their heads, like their spikes and stuff, and they were really like primordial looking. And I thought, wow, those are really cool as a little kid. And they were not running around like all over the place. Then I remember they opened up a reptile store. It was cool for a while, and we had a foster brother that we used to come in first on the holidays, and then a little by little, he basically lived there until he went and joined the military to go to college, and he ended up going to the Iraq War. He went to the first one, the Desert Storm, and they lied to him at the recruiter's office. They told him, "You'll be surfing every day in Hawaii," and he was like, "I can go to these stations." Yeah, I know. They told me to. And he thought he was going to be surfing every day, but this was they really liked him because this is before even Desert Storm. So he really was like, "I'm going to have it made in the shit. There's not even any wars going on." But what happened was that he had one of these little iguanas as a pet, and his name was Barney. I don't know if it was after Barney the dinosaur, and it used to get out all the time. It looked just like a regular lizard, but it would climb in the ceiling, and it was really hard to get it down. And then what happened was they would always grow to be like 3 feet long, and then nobody could feed them anymore. They had to be like on a hot rock because they have to digest and, like, you know, they need the heat. So people would let them free in the, you know, in the Everglades and stuff. And then what happened was that, you know, that trend, that fad, it went out of style, and now these things, they run across the road and they're all over the place. So that, and then I saw the other thing with my own eyes when I went to those people's houses and they had the two pythons. Now imagine that we had the parents that had the snake that ate the baby. And then I saw with my own eyes the people that had the two pythons in the wall, and they needed to have like an estuary or like a, it looked like a tree. And it was like, you know, it must have been so expensive. So I think if some other person had this bodic snake in a cage and it grew past 10 feet, then they would have just probably let it loose. Because the thing is not going to be your pet. It's going to try to eat you. You know, so that must have happened too.
Here, I found Izod, or Zod in Hebrew. It says that it gets translated into Greek, meaning... Here, this what a fitting example. I mean, trouble bringer. Everything with these guys is always negative and fucked up.
Yeah, except for anything I was just gonna good. Say that.
Izod is I'm the trouble bringer.
Well, because that's, you know, that's what they're heralding. They're trying to herald that in. I told you they said that if you. The one guy that was on the satanic side said basically the same thing that the Sabbatai Zvi said. He said that they both said almost the same thing verbatim. They said it's easier to do the negative work. It's easier to reach down than it is to reach up. Or it's easier to do bad stuff to bring about, to force God's hand than it is to aspire to be good. It's better to get more people to do bad than it is to get more people to do good. So they go for the bad, you know, whatever their philosophy is, it doesn't even matter. It's just that that's what they both, you know, that was their thinking in both cases. So it's kind of like, I can see if that's what your school of thought was, or if that's your philosophy was, it is true. I probably could probably get 9 or 10 people to do more bad things on a regular basis, but
That's why they do that in the news. That's why the news is always negative, because it's people don't want to hear good. People don't want to hear good. They really don't. They absolutely don't. They want to hear bad, because misery enjoys company. That mm-hmm. doesn't work out well.
You know what? A lot of people, they say, you know, do you think people are genuinely bad, or if they're, you know, good? I think they underestimate people as a whole. I think people as a whole are sort of in the middle. You know, like they'll do good. Like whenever they do these experiments where they lose money and then they show that most people return the money, I think for the most part, people are, you know, down the middle of the road. and then I think there's extremes. But I think that if you're trying to tip the scales, or if you were a social engineer and you were trying to, you know, it would probably be easier to foment sort of like chaos. But it must not be working that well, because that's all they've really been trying to do. And they've been trying to kick off the race war. The reason why it hasn't happened is because people are so lazy that they just, you know, they yell on their keyboards, if those are even real people in the first place. Because I don't know anybody that talks the way people talk in chats and stuff. You know, like, not chat like this chat. I'm talking about, like, in the comment sections. You know how, like, people talk like insane, racist, crazy people when you read comments? And they yell at each other. They talk the way like they're 10 feet tall and invisible. You know, like, no one talks that way in real life.
No.
Or they would get smacked. You know, they would get hurt. They would get, something would happen to them. You can't talk the way people talk. When I first went on the internet, I was like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe some of the comments, because I was like, who could get away with saying shit like that? And I didn't even, you know, I didn't believe it. And then I was like, where's all this nerd rage coming from? You know, that's the other thing. Is there really that many antisocial people?
No, there's not. It's all made up.
No. Yeah. That's what
it's
I think. So I think they foment it.
Of course they do. There's nobody at the gas station saying the Mexicans don't have enough money to buy something. Never in a million years. Not in this town. Not in this
That's
town. They're all young yuppies, like. They don't talk like that. They've never talked like that here. It's just made.
And did you notice?
They're pushing the agenda because it allows them to create other laws. It has nothing to do with fact.
Yeah, I agree. Well, did you notice too that I was walking in the grocery store and they have a TV in the Winn-Dixie. They have it on all the time. And this was back when that story, when the girl wouldn't get out of her chair and the teacher kept asking her. It was a black girl was sitting in her chair, and then they had the school police officer come in and basically shake her out of the chair. Well, what happened was that this old lady was walking by, and then this Jamaican lady was walking towards her, and she goes, the guy had to shake her out of the chair. She just automatically started apologizing, and then the woman goes, it's okay. She's like, I understand. And I saw people being nicer to each other the more they pushed this sort of stuff. Because they said what happened here in this town was that a school principal told one of the parents that the Holocaust is not generally accepted among everyone. Now, they would never, ever say that here in a million years. And they made that some national story and said that happened here. And I call bullshit. No one said that to a parent in this town. They said it was a black school principal said that a Jewish parent got mad because her daughter complained, because I guess the guy supposedly also teaches a class. And they didn't say the name of the school. And then she came back to school and he goes, well, listen, not everyone believes that the Holocaust is an actual historic event. I don't think for one second.
I can prove it. It has to do with hell. Like, I've proven this a million times. I can show you. I don't know. Well, who would listen to me? I can show it and I can prove it. It didn't happen here. Not the way people think. It was in the head. People don't get it.
Right.
I'm not even sure you get it. But the bottom line is it didn't happen the way that people think. It wasn't physical in the way that people think it was physical. All of those pictures all have the same color codes, which means it didn't happen here. It happened in the mind somewhere. And there's certain ways that you get to that state of mind. And I don't know who was doing it to who, but I highly doubt if it was some dude with a little mustache that looked like Charlie Chaplin behind all of that. Look, kind of looked like Charlie Chaplin.
And then Charlie Chaplin makes a movie playing the guy.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because it's a goof.
I know.
The Holocaust is dealing with fire. It's a sacrifice, and it's a specific type of sacrifice. If you know what I mean. So
I was just going to say, a very specific type.
Yeah, it's a very special, different strokes.
But didn't the guy say, how he burned in the camps? Remember that specific line? And the line was, how we burned in the camps.
Yes, they did burn because they were getting zing-zanged. They're getting pazinga'd.
Mm-hmm.
Until people, you know, whatever. You look, I explained this the other day, and people will never get this. People think they're talking about Jesus when they say Lord of Hosts. They're not. They're talking about the Jews. You're the host. They're the Lord. They're the Lord of Hosts. We're the host. We're the ones that prop them up. They're the Lord by their own writings. So what is all this? The Bible is written. They wrote it about themselves. So whatever. People are just going to be dumb forever.
Well, one of the ones that you did, and it was a good video, there were two movies where they did this. They did the one with Robin Williams, Jacob the Liar, and then I remember my mom telling me about this one movie, and she goes, there's this movie, it's an Italian movie, and the guy goes to a camp with his son, and he makes believe that they're someplace else, and it's called Life is Beautiful. And the whole time, you know, he pretends like, you know, it's all just a joke. And I was like, whoa, that is, you know, that's working on a whole different level. And this was back when I really was not aware of a lot of this stuff. But I was
association. That's what it is. But that's the point of it. You know, it's the point of doing it. Now, prisoners of war would do that by accident because you just do that when you're under pain. But I think these guys did it intentionally.
Right.
You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff, but I mean, people don't even get the shit I do now, let alone trying to even push anything further. You know, people ask me, where are your videos at? Well, you're just showing up now after 2007. You're just showing up now, and I'm just supposed to say here.
That was kind of weird. That was kind of strange.
Well, I don't get it. I mean, I'm not going to hand it to you. Dude, it was a process. It wasn't me walking along just showing you guys what I was doing every day. Not redoing that.
But why is everybody typing so?
I couldn't do it again. I wouldn't rediscover that stuff the same way. It couldn't happen.
Yeah, but it said something about your posture, and I was like, "Your
what?" No. It said posturing means your position. Meaning, I don't understand your position. Why do you keep telling me that you made all of those videos? Because I kept telling him that I made all those videos so that he would go out and search them out. You know, stop asking me specific questions. I'm not a secretary. I made 14,000 videos. Go look them up. I did all the work for you. What, you fucking can't go look? And then he's the one that wrote and said, I think I'm smarter than everybody on this page or something. Oh, good, knock yourself out, kid. Well, I think it's great. I'm glad. Perfect.
That reminds me of that movie with Albert Einstein. His real name's Albert Einstein, Albert Brooks, Broadcast News. And he's with the other guy, and the other guy's supposed to be almost like the devil. The good-looking, William Hurt, he's supposed to be the good-looking, dashing new anchor. And the guy says, what do you do when all of your life's, you know, every fantasy in your life and everything's come true, and you're just like basically on the top of the world? And he goes, keep it to yourself. You know, like he's bragging on himself. And the guy's like, you know, nobody likes the, you know, the smart ass. But that, I'm smarter than anybody on the page.
Well, that's why he says, oh, I want to do this time slot. I said, dude, you got to call me on the phone. I don't even know who the hell you are. I said, you could be a crazy news stepper. I don't know.
It's true. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm real. I have to look in the mirror and do a few. It's almost like that movie Deus Ex. I got to do a Turing test to make sure, to double check.
I don't know if I'm real. I don't really care. This world will be fine without me. Trust me. This world will not miss me. Not one little teeny tiny bit. Not nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
I would miss you. So,
no, you wouldn't.
So you have
nobody
one
will.
Person.
No, you won't. Nobody would miss me, ever. Nobody would miss me. And that's
you see the position that he puts me in, then I have to respond, what am I supposed to say?
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not interested in anybody remembering me. Fuck this place. whatever. If there was a lesson to be learned, well, maybe I missed it, but it's a nutty thing, and I've done what I could to show people that you're just getting built, but that's okay.
It was P.T. Barnum, I think he said that. There's a sucker born every day. Somebody changed it to they turned it to an expletive. I'm trying to think. Where was that? Oh, it was that guy that got accused of having a Me Too moment. It was David Blaine. They were trying to say that he wrote that on one of his specials. Now, why would anybody use that as their mantra? You know, he was writing it and trying to show people, like, yeah, see, there is a sucker born every day, and I'm going to go out in the street and I'm going to prove it.
Well,
you know, why? How would
that
endear you to a fans?
You're only a sucker depending on how stupid you are.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
if you're
telling
educated,
you.
And kind of.
Well, you got the mark and the rube, and then you have the smark, which is the smart mark, who plays along. You know, that's the person that works with the carnival barker.
Well, they would be very bored dealing with me. Because I would just tell them, suck a dick, get out of my way, son. Move on.
I saw, which was it? It was one of those movies we were talking about. And I wrote it down. I had a whole...
What, the thing about where banana, where that parrot keeps killing? Oh, you're not talking about that?
Yeah.
No, banana. Remember when they talked about that parrot?
Did I lose you?
Huh?
Oh, I thought I got disconnected.
No, I was talking about banana with that stupid parrot that every time he walks by it. He looks out the window and says, "Partner alert." he gets real pissed because he's so delusional. He thinks that the parrot has it out for him. It's a fucking parrot, dude. It just sees him and it just looks out the window and goes, "Partner alert."
The guy, my mom, she had a boyfriend she was going to marry, had a macaw, and everybody was afraid to feed it. And because it would bite everybody, so they had this long stick they would have to feed the thing with. And I wanted to get it. I wanted to get one when I was younger. And then I realized that they don't all, you know, they don't all talk. You know, it's like this very specific kind. I think it's the gray. I forget now. But I used to think they had, like, conversations with you and stuff when I was a kid. So... I don't know, but there's a bunch of funny jokes about, you know, the wife cheating and the parrot basically telling. There's like a whole plethora of old parrot jokes that are really good. But yeah, I used to want to get one. They're also expensive too.
Well, African grays are. Mina birds are better talkers.
That's what it was. I think it was you that was talking about it that I heard. I think it was a video you did, actually, on that, as a matter of fact. See, you've done a whole host of videos, you know, ranging all over. You've done some on just plain physics. Where
dude,
I think you
like
did one on,
Walter,
like...
Literally, the shit that I've done in my life, I'm like fucking Walter Mitty for, like, real. But it's just nobody knows me. You know, I'm like the fucking...
In that...
The creep that lives under the bridge that nobody wants to know.
Well, in the Walter Mitty movie, remember he was always sort of like, they'd say, where are you disappearing to? Where are you going to? He kept disappearing into his head. He kept having like breaks, like a little bit of, like they love pushing that theme in there. And people don't.
It was just disassociated.
Disassociation, that's right, that's what it is.
It's like a daydream, but they have ways of bringing that state on. Like David Lee Roth, why do you think he made that statement? Well, part of it, he's talking about him and his friends jumping a fence and going down the river, and the police you know, if they caught him, he would get in trouble. And then all of a sudden he's talking about Van Halen, and that's why he led into that. He said, you know, alternate realities. And then he said, I'm Jewish, remember? Well, that's what he was leading into. So which one is the real David Lee Roth? The idiot that's sitting there talking with Rogan, or the other guy that's going down the river? You don't know.
Yeah, and he's like, when I heard that interview, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Because I was like, I hope Bill listens to the highlights of just this interview, because he was saying so much stuff. And he was talking about how the leaders had to do that.
Both of those are real. Both of those are real. It isn't one, just one is fake and the other one's not. Both of those are real, because if you ever watch Lewis Black, the comedian, he'll tell you, he says that. He goes, you guys don't know, you guys don't multitask. He goes, just because you're on your computer and you do it, he goes, that's not multitasking. Someday you will, but right now you're not. They
that's
multitask.
What I'm saying.
They're running multiple timelines in their head.
Yep.
They are. They're living a million different lives at the same time. Us, we just have this one because that's all we were ever trained to do. You know?
Well, I mean, that's what he was saying. Also, wasn't David Lee Roth talking about how they use both sides of their brain and how I don't know if he got into the Hebrew numbers letter thing, but didn't he talk about that, how they use the right and the left? I mean, that's what they're always, that's basically what they're saying when they talk about that
well,
stuff.
Reflective of the mirror type thing, but creating alternate realities. Look, you could do your life in prison, and it wouldn't be a big deal if you were able to leave your head and go into another life somewhere. Well, what would be the threat of being locked up? You would never be there in your own head, right? Only
right.
for a short amount of time, right, to do things, and then you'd be gone again. So it's kind of like that's what the word liberty really means. It's an extended freedom, but it's not total freedom, but I think that's what this place is, kind of. So,
well,
you know,
it's
I don't
like
know
that Jody Arias case.
Yeah, that stupid
when
thing.
When you
come
showed
on,
that?
Dude. Come on. How could they?
No, no, I'm saying.
Yes, I know.
That's what I mean.
There's no reflection in the mirror, and there's no reflection in the mirror, and the shit that is in the mirror is showing something else that isn't even possible to be shown in a mirror, yet that was given as evidence. I doubt it. And the Phil Spector trial.
Yeah.
Well, the Phil Spector trial, he had his fucking weird hair on. I found four hairs that were identical, which means that if that's fake, then the whole thing was fake.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And he said, I think I shot her. Like he didn't know.
You don't have four identical hairs on your head. It's like they took a part of a picture and they just kept moving around until they made the hairstyle they wanted. So if somebody went to all that trouble to do that, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just take a picture of the idiot, crop his head, and just put it on there?
And remember when I said that Paul McCartney was talking about he was doing almost like the first battle rap with, not Paul McCartney, when John Lennon was doing like the first battle rap with Paul McCartney, and he was saying, those freaks were right when they said you were dead. That was Phil Spector producing, and that was him dressed up just like him, like in the studio with him, and then the Ronettes and all. Like, dude, that guy was everywhere. And he was, if you ever watched the movie that they did about him with Al Pacino playing him, and Al Pacino loves playing the devil or some stand-in for the devil. He played that guy that killed everybody. What's his name?
My ex-wife?
Yeah, I was just going to say. The other one. He played Kevorkian with John Goodman and Dr. Death, and then he played... he played the actual devil in The Devil's Advocate. And then, because once they play that character, that's like an honor for them. So they can't go anywhere but down from there. So then they play characters that are the same kind of character. So then he plays Phil Spector. So who played the lawyer? It was one of those hot pants ones from the 60s. The she was on the island. What's her name? And now they take her serious. It's like a serious actress. The British one. Oh my God, I can't remember. But she played she played in Red with Malkovich and Bruce Willis, and holy crap, what was her name? And then she played the lawyer. And in that movie, they did it, I think it was an HBO movie, they talk about how all the music, they were like, this little Jewish guy wrote all this music that everybody thinks that all these bands, like Mean Streets came out. This was Phil Spector. You can Google this, and he's talking about it. And he goes, so I'm at my house one morning, and John Lennon calls me up and goes, Phil, you've got to get down to the movie theater immediately. They're using your song in one of these movies. So he races down. He goes to your Scorsese movie, and they're using this song. It's being Be My Baby in the beginning of the movie. So they used it without his authorization. So he called up his management, and they go, listen, it's a fledgling Italian actor. They go, the rest of the people on the film are Jewish guys, and they're like, they're not trying to offend you, but they needed that song because it makes the movie. And he goes, so I licensed it. And he goes, and because of that, he goes, I'm also responsible for the success of Martin Scorsese. He's like, yes, I made his career because I allowed him to use my song. And as we said, literally, he goes, he can thank me for his career because I said yes to that. Because he said the movie wouldn't have been the same without it. It just wouldn't have.
When I would talk to Banana, he would always say stuff like, if I was talking about what you were just talking about, he'd say, ask if he asked about me. Yes, I'm sure Sir Scorsese, whatever his name is, asked about you, Banana. Ask if he asked about me. Yeah, Bruce Willis. Ask if he asked about me. Yes, I'm sure Bruce Willis was very concerned with you. Ask if he asked about me.
Well, this one little guy that got taken, this Phil Spector guy, and a Spector is what, a ghost? He, if you watch this movie, he was supposedly responsible for all the music, and he was the behind the scenes, you know, responsible for all the music. He wrote everything from, you know, like Motown to rock and roll to.
I remember.
And then he supposedly they planted the seed that he was always locked and loaded, and that he was always carrying around some kind of pistol, and that he liked brandishing it. And that one time when John Lennon played
rock and roll high school, fucking 8 hours without stopping. What a hideous song! What a horrible song! Dude, a horrible song! He made him play for 8 hours at gunpoint.
That's what's it called? Yes.
Dude, the song sucks.
What was the name of it? I can't remember. But that movie that tells a lot of stuff. And supposedly that guy had all of the like Michael Jackson, he had all of the, what do they call it, the publishing for all that stuff. And he said the same thing the guy behind the piano said in there. He goes, when you had your first kiss, he goes, that was me. He goes, whenever the woman was trying to push him on trial and try to, you know, prepare his defense because she said he was so, like, all over the place. She couldn't get him to answer the questions and stuff. He'd get belligerent. And he'd said that, almost word for word, that little scene that takes place in that movie. He said, whenever you had your first, you know, date, whenever you had your first kiss, whenever you had your first, you know, dance at the whatever it might have been, it was almost like that whole monologue. And he was like, but you didn't know it. You didn't know it was me. He's like, because it was played by so-and-so, or it was, you know, performed by this person. And they basically said, in the movie, they implied that he was behind the scenes on everything.
Well, explain to me why he had four identical hairs on his head. Why is that?
I know.
Well,
in the movie, when he goes to the trial with the big hair, like the really big hair teased up on his head,
that's the one that I talk about. That's the one I'm talking about. He looked like a fucking dandelion. He looked like fucking Harpo Marx, for fuck's sake.
I know. The way they play it off in the movie is she goes, what the fuck? Like, basically, like, what the hell are you thinking? And he goes, I am paying a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. He goes, the man was persecuted in his time. And he's like, and I'm showing solidarity. That's what they played off in at the movie. And then when they kept asking, were those wigs?
I'm paying respect to Roundup.
Yeah, really. And then in the movie, she kept going, are they wigs? Are they wigs? And then it would hint, like, you know, that they were. But then he kept saying, this is my real hair. That crazy monstrosity that he had. Yeah, that's actually
like
worth
Harpo
taking
Marx.
A second look at.
Do you know who Harpo Marx is?
Yes, the one of the Marx brothers.
Right, but he looked like him. I actually did a video with that and Harpo, and I just said it was Phil Spector, and he was stealing a hot dog, and I said this proved that he killed that woman.
Oh, yeah. And she was actually in oh, what was the movie? She was not, I think her name was Lana Turner, which would be Anal. I gotta look that up. She was in some things, so there was a lot more to that.
I already covered all of that stuff a gazillion years ago. He told the cops, I think I shot a woman in the mouth. Because when you get on the third level of that, it's called walking the razor's edge. You can't tell the difference between two realities. So in one reality where that was his fantasy to do some weird shit like that, he actually did it in this one where he got arrested. So if there's any truth to him ever getting arrested. And that's why he told
the
police, I think I shot a girl in the mouth. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The only thing they showed since then is a mugshot where he didn't have the hair, so it looked like there was a hairline.
He looked like overboiled spaghetti noodles.
Yeah, that's all they've shown. That's all they've shown since then.
And that may have been all he ever was. See, this is what you guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how TV works. I have a feeling that the people on there aren't ever really what they appear to be. And that's, you know, their real status is they're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But part of their job is to deceive. That's part of their job. It's part of their, like, not a pardon, but it's like, you know, you can get out for a little while, but you have to work for me. That's what it appears, because
people
don't work like what people think.
Well, the thing that they're doing now, I told you they're all about talking about the deep fakes, and now they have a contest about who can make the best deep fakes and all that sort of stuff. So they want that thing out there about the idea. They want the idea out there that this is where the technology is.
Yes.
Because they gotta promote it some way.
They've had it forever. People
act
like
this. No, that's what I'm saying. They're trying to, they have to put it out there so that people can say, I saw that on YouTube. This is how advanced the technology is. Look. You know what I mean? They have to have a barometer somewhere.
Yeah,
they have the whole flat earth. The whole thing with the flat earth thing was the guy that has, I think it's called the NASA channel or something like that. He came out and he said he was an artist, and this is what made the whole thing compelling in a way. Not that the earth is flat. This is where they combine things. What he did was he said, okay, let's say you're looking, he showed a picture of some satellite pictures, and then he goes, now pull back, and then he goes, now this is really just a picture of my schmock or something, and you wouldn't know because, you're not a professional artist or whatever. You don't work in the medium, so you don't know what the state of the art is. So he goes, so how do you know what you're seeing is real? And it's a good question to ask people because it's true. How do they know if they're not in the field, if they're not working on CGI, if they're not on the cutting edge, how do they know what the cutting edge is? But then they conflate that with, so there, ergo, the earth is flat and, you know, everything in NASA is fake. And, you know, it's all one big lie. You know, they make a bunch of leaps after that. You know, it's a good thought exercise. It's a good question to ask. And there's a good point to be made to say, you can't tell the difference between a picture of somebody's shirt, you know, if they take it up close, and then they just maybe put some layers over it, and they say, you're looking at outer space. And then how would you know the difference? That was the question the guy was saying. But then they jump from that to, okay, since now we can prove some of these things are fake and they've used the same picture over and over again to, you know, that means that everything is a lie. You don't know what anything is. That's Soviet-style propaganda. Now that means the Earth is flat and all the science you've ever learned is wrong. And what it goes back to is that what they did was they took the real sciences, the hard sciences, and they flipped them, and they put the social sciences, the sociology, the psychology, all the pseudosciences on the top, and they made those people in charge of everything. And they said that, you know, you're delusional, and if you're delusional, then they can take away your rights. They got rid of obscenity, and they used to have obscenity laws. They got rid of that, so now nothing's obscene, and then they get away with things by calling it art. So then everything's relative. You know, there's no standard of a good, a bad. There's no standard of a, you know, immoral, moral. There's nothing shocking, like that one album says. And then you can have somebody like...
A girl on Facebook asked me if I believe in flat Earth. She said, do you think the Earth is flat? I said, no, but your ass is.
She asked you directly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And they do that on purpose. They do it on purpose.
They said, well, do you think the Earth is flat? I said, no, but your ass is. I mean, that was my way of just saying, fuck off.
Yeah, you have to, because it's a trap question. It's a trap question.
Well,
they
want to
trap you into an answer.
Her ass was flat.
No, that was a perfect.
But her ass is flat. Yeah. I'm just saying, I proved my work. I posted her picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about flat Earth. Fuck, if you go to one of those conventions, bring a fucking book.
And did you see how fast that started and how fast it took off? You know,
yes,
just
I
like
retarded. Yes, the Earth is the Earth is flat. And now, where do we go with where do we go with that now? What do we do to fix
exactly.
that? Why is that even why is that even pertinent? Dumb shit.
It's not.
Well, what difference
really
would it make
not.
If it's flat? What a bunch of fucking kooks. I mean, to spend time, yes, I get it. But whatever. What is the point?
I guess what they're trying to do, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, because I was trying to pinpoint when the golden age of, you know, YouTube was happening, when people were exchanging ideas. You know, when people were actually putting out stuff that was good, that was
done. Who thinks about the Earth being fucking flat?
I know, I know, of all the topics, too. I remember when I saw the first video, it was actually way before it was one where somebody had a radio-controlled helicopter. And I was like, what are they getting at in this? What is the point of this video? And they were trying to take it off the back of a moving pickup truck. And they were like, you see how there's a little bit of a stutter before a wobble before it's... And I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what are they pushing towards? And then it coincided with, because this is when this was maybe 2014. Remember that guy that used to talk about, he used to go supposedly on his own dime, Hovind, and he used to debate evolution in the schools. Right when he came out, they hit him with the flat Earth thing. And what it did was it made his argument, it forced him into debating this argument instead of debating what he had been debating, you know, before he got put into prison. And I said, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to descend on him. And they turned it into a Christian thing to where the flat Earth became some sort of a Christian debate, and they started saying he wasn't a real Christian if he didn't believe it.
What,
so at first he was trying to. They try to say
that. Who cares if you believe that? I would be more concerned with the Saturnian thing that's run by you know who. I think that's slightly more pressing, don't you?
Exactly.
Yes, the Earth is flat, and if you don't believe in the Earth is flat, then you can't believe in Jesus. Also, you're grounded. What?
I know. Well, that's what people have to do. People have to, they have to reform. Oh, that was the thing. That was what I had to say because I found out that when I went back and I listened to that guy, he said this he was talking to, okay, remember the old Prophecy Club videos and stuff, and some of these ones with the satanic victim videos? I had forgotten about this too. Okay, the reason why, when YouTube came out, a lot of these people sold videos in the 90s or like the late 80s, middle, you know, the early 90s, and they didn't know that when they made a lot of these videos, that the videos would get a platform like YouTube, where they would get shown all over the country, all over the world, and they would get millions of views. So people like Ted Gunderson and all these people, they said, oh, what? Because I remember trying to interview one of these guys from the Prophecy Club, and he kept saying, don't bring up the Prophecy Club. And I was like, well, why? You know, you went on there, and you talked all about, you know, the holidays being pagan, and, you know, like, why not? And he's like, just whatever you do, just don't bring up the Prophecy Club. And at the last minute, he backed out of the interview. And I told him I wouldn't talk about it. Well, what I found out was they had made a lot of these videos, like, real fast on the fly to make money. And they didn't expect them to be seen by a lot of people. So remember when I said that Jordan Maxwell had done that really good one on the Phoenicians, and like there was a few that he did that were pretty good. And then they sort of just disappeared. I'm not saying that that's what he was doing, but I think in the older days when it was VHS tapes and people were making things in church basements and people's living rooms, that they probably figured these tapes are not going to go that far. They're not going to go that wide. So they exaggerated. This is what this guy said. They exaggerated that I think Gunderson said, so it could be quoted, that they exaggerated some of the claims and they embellished some of the things that they said because they didn't expect them to. Nobody. And I used to say this, too, about the movies. You know how people used to show 9/11 in Hollywood way before it happened in all the movies? I used to say, all those guys that made those movies, when they had VCRs and stuff, nobody thought that there would be a internet format where you would be able to clip the movies together, play them next to each other, and edit them perfectly, and then stack them up and show everyone that they're using the same symbolism in all of them. You know, the movie makers didn't know you'd be able to do that. They thought you'd catch it subliminally. Or that you'd say through word of mouth, oh, did you see that Batman 3, how they used the all-seeing eye? And then maybe somebody else would notice it. But nobody knew that there would be no one has that much foresight that they would be like, you know, in 20 years or in 15 years, there'll be in 2006, there'll be this thing called YouTube where people will be able to take our VHS things, convert them into MP3s or whatever, MP4, you know, whatever, and then, you know, slow them down, and then stack them up, and then, you know, literally go frame by frame and show what we did, and then match them up with our other movies and create a, you know, have editing software and all that stuff. Nobody's that forward thinking. They might have thought, oh, in the future people will be able to do a little bit of editing and some sly people will catch some of these references, but not like that. And that's what happened with these videos from places like the Prophecy Club, and from some of these, you know, satanic panic ones. I'm not saying that these things didn't happen, but I think what happened was that, like Kathy O'Brien and her husband, that guy, where they said, you know, she was the sex slave and all that sort of stuff. I think they had an idea of how many would sell, and at the time, you know, they were like, we'll write a book, you know, maybe 1,000 people will buy it, you know, for $30 a pop or whatever it might have been, $100 a pop. I forget how much that book was, you know, but I don't think they had any clue about, you know, YouTube and then all these videos being kept and then replayed and then so many people seeing them worldwide. And then they became international.